You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob. Welcome to episode number 896. I don't know why I'm talking so fast this morning.
You're talking so fast because this is a conversation that may get you fired up.
That's right. Maybe you're going to be fired up. Maybe you're not going to care. But if you don't care, you should care.
Should you care though when people break your rules, Rob?
Well, definitely you should care about that for sure.
So how do you hold them accountable?
That's a good question.
That's something we're going to talk about today. Sorry to interrupt you, but
a lot of different ways of doing that.
Imagine if someone who worked for you, maybe they're a contractor, maybe they're a family member, maybe they're a friend. How are you going to hold them accountable when they break one of the rules of your systems in your business? Are you going to be able to educate them on why something so small and minute may have such a grandiose effect? Are you going to be able to do so in an emotionally intelligent way? Are you going to be able to lead the conversation so that you become the leader just through your actions? Well, we're going to discuss that and so much more. And I'm going to stop banging on the desk today in our episode of Ask a Drone You. But do you remember yesterday's episode? Rob was stumped on his part 107 question, right? Because of cloud clearances. Well, today, for our reminder of the Part 107 recurrency test, which if you haven't studied for it, you can go to droneu.education and study for it right now. And if you're a member, it doesn't cost you anything extra. It's already there. All right. All right, Rob. The question for today. The minimum distance from clouds required for SUAS Part 107 operations is... This is another... These guys need a lesson in grammar. Okay, the minimum distance from clouds required for SUAS Part 107 operations are clear of clouds, 500 feet below, 2,000 feet horizontally, 500 feet above, 1,000 feet horizontally.
Didn't we figure that out yesterday?
So what's the answer?
It would be 500 feet below.
That's correct, and 2,000 feet horizontally. Woo! Well, oh, man.
What's kind of funny is that I said, didn't we figure that out yesterday? That was actually about an hour ago.
Yes.
So I better not get that one.
Hey, I was trying to give you a chance for redemption.
I appreciate that.
And you just like tore yourself down.
You threw me a softball and I think I maybe got a base hit, but I didn't hit it out of the park.
No, that was a bunt. That was
for a hit.
Hey, long and the short of it, it was for the greater good of the team, okay?
That's right. Always. Always.
Hey guys, this is Michael. It's been a long time. How you guys doing? So, it's going to be quick. I got a guy, I came into the shop this morning, and I saw four DJI Mavic Pro batteries charging, and they've been charging overnight, unsupervised in the building. I'm going to write him up for irresponsibility. I just want to know what you would do in this situation. How would you handle this? He's going to tell me that the DJI batteries, because I've heard it before from him, he's going to tell me that the DJI batteries are protected from explosion and mishaps. It doesn't matter. I don't care if that is the case. So what would you do in this situation? And can they blow up? I mean, I'm looking it up right now, but I just want to know your opinion. I really value you guys' opinions. If you could just get back to me, I really appreciate it. And you guys keep up, man. Thanks.
Hey, Rob, what's the one word you never say on an airplane?
Explode?
Bomb.
Bomb? Okay.
Bomb. Never say bomb. He said bomb. Are drone batteries really bombs? Not really. Now, will they aggressively light on fire if the lithium reaches oxygen? Yes. Is the temperature hot enough to burn through an aircraft hull? Yes. And I'm not talking about a Phantom. I'm talking about a Boeing 747. Recently, there was some research done to showcase the melting point of the battery and the melting point of aircraft-grade aluminum and aircraft-grade titanium. And it did burn a hole right through the aluminum. So, is there an issue with batteries? Well, I think you should go to YouTube really quick. And you remember a drone store that went out of business because they aggressively expanded way too fast because they were trying to own the market and be the best that there is without ever trying to actually do the hard work and put in the real time? Drones Plus is what we're talking about. And if Drones Plus has a video. I believe it's still on YouTube. Rob, if you want to cross check me really quick on YouTube and search DJI Battery Explosion Drones Plus. The DJI batteries are a little bit better than most batteries, but they still can light on fire and not really explode, but they can light on fire and cause serious damage. We have seen people's house burn down. Long story short, DJI batteries are balanced batteries. Balanced batteries do give you warnings if they've been overcharged, over-discharged, if they are too hot to charge, or there's some other type of voltage warning or whatnot. Now, have I seen DJI batteries, like, literally melt? The answer is yes. I literally have seen that. Okay, so this is the video. You found it. It's got 73,000 views right now. I think that's it. Anyway, maybe it's not, but a Phantom 4 battery lights on fire in that video. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, go back. Yep, there's the footage. Yep, there it is. Anyway, so long story short is the answer is yes, they are balanced batteries, and yes, they still can explode, especially if people like this guy have not treated the batteries properly. What does treating batteries properly mean? It means not leaving them in super hot environments like your car for extended periods of time on summer days. It also means to properly maintain the batteries, means to deep cycle the batteries every 10 cycles, which I'm also learning is important for other types of consumer-based batteries as well, which I never knew. In addition, you should never take the battery off the charger before it's completed its charging cycle. Those are three ways. If you don't do those three things, the battery is not going to be in a position to contain itself from a meltdown, right? Wow, that's a fire right
there. That's intense.
That's an intense fire. Now tell me the propensity of that fire burning down that whole building, because there's another video on YouTube where this guy was charging batteries, just like how the question asker mentioned, where they were left alone, he was charging them, and the whole house burned down, like the entire house burned down. Now here's the thing, in certain states, if you are charging batteries in a hotel room and leave them unattended and it burns the hotel down, you're liable. As I think it's in Texas is where I read it on
meaning
the
door. Meaning insurance isn't even going to take care
of it. Nope, you're liable. I remember, I always read the...
They could argue negligence.
Yes, I always read the things that are on the back of the door because I'm just weird and curious like that. And I think it was in a Houston hotel. It was in a Courtyard Marriott. And they're like, if you have any electronics that overheat and cause fire, it's on you. So, I mean, like, I thought that was really interesting. Now, that being said, how do you handle the employee, right? First of all, your question was, should I write them up? What would you guys do, right? One of the big things that we've had a problem with in the past, which I feel like we've done a good job of overcoming, and I also feel like this is a problem with a lot of pilots who have gotten into businesses with many business partners. How do you hold them accountable, right? Should he write them up? Well, yes, you're holding him accountable.
Right.
Right? Why is holding someone accountable so important, Rob?
Well, they're not going to learn. They're not going to change behavior if you don't hold them accountable, for one. I mean, I don't know what you're getting at, but that's certainly one of the things that comes to mind.
I think that's a definitely good point, right? Because if you tell your daughter, no, you can't use your phone after you are texting and driving, and then you let her use the phone, you just told her that it's okay to text and drive.
Exactly.
Which could kill her. So anyway, long story short.
I mean, we have systems, we have protocols, we have rules in place for a reason, not the least of which, particularly when you're dealing with drones and batteries, is safety.
Correct.
So we're also talking about the impact on other people, not just the person who's not following the rules.
Correct.
Right. So if they want to hurt themselves, we don't want that, but you can't necessarily stop that. But we can definitely keep them from hurting other people and hurting clients, other employees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it's a no-brainer. You have to hold them accountable.
You know, and it's really interesting, actually, because as I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, what would I say to the employee, right? And I would say to the employee, how do you expect us to feel if the whole building had burned down? And he's like, well, it didn't. I said, well, okay, it didn't burn down. But how would you feel if the building did burn down? Now, let's ask you a better question. How do you think we would feel if the building burned down? Okay. Now, why do you think that there are rules in place for this? You know, he's going to answer whatever way. A why question is always difficult, by the way. The next question I would say is, do you believe it's important to have systems And then I wouldn't let him answer. I would keep asking the question, do you think it's important to have systems? Meaning, if I do something and someone else is counting on me to do that thing so that they can do their thing, then we kind of have a stepladder effect here, right? So if I don't do my part of the system, then I negatively affect the people around me and they can't do what they're doing, right? So look at this as an ownership standpoint. If I've got five owners in a business and I don't hold each one of them accountable and they all own 20% of the company, is my 20% worth the same as their 20% if they're not being held accountable?
Well, I think it devalues your 20% as a whole.
Exactly.
I mean, it devalues the entire company.
It devalues the 20% that he owns, and it devalues the 20% that I own. Because if I'm not holding them accountable, and they're not getting things done for our business, and our business isn't increasing its revenue, and thus increasing the value of the business, then doesn't everyone in the circle devalue the entire business?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the whole weak link theory, right? If you've got a chain that's holding the piano down the building to get it to the floor from the 10th floor, like, I don't know, they do that in New York City and stuff, right? And there's a weak link in that chain. The whole chain can be incredibly strong. I mean, you could have, I don't know, whatever gauge chain that you'd want to talk about that's really heavy, but there's one weak link for whatever reason, it's mm-hmm. weak. The whole thing is toast.
Correct. So now, going back to the employee, I would say, you know, after those questions, I would say, now, do you believe, now this is what I would say, I would go with empathy, right? Tactical empathy. Look, I understand you wanted to charge the batteries overnight because it would be easy. You don't have to worry about them. You're not here to watch over them, whatever. But what if one of them were to light on fire? If you were here, do you believe you'd have a better opportunity to inhibit a larger problem at hand? So I understand that you want to get these charged and done easily. But do you understand how a business owner like myself or a manager like myself is having extreme difficulty with empathizing with your laziness while you're risking the entire material life of our business? Everything that we use, every tool we use is at risk because you want something to be easier. Do you think how do you expect everyone else to feel on the team? Then I would say, so I'm writing you up. And I'm writing you up to hold you accountable. Because if this happens again, we're going to have a very serious problem. Because we have systems in this company. These systems are here to help you, to help your teammates, and to help you guys work together. These systems are in place to help us create a quality product efficiently while we're creating relationships with our clients. And if we're willing to put all of that at risk, do you think I'm willing to risk my business because of your risks? And I would end with that question. Yeah. Let them simmer on it, right? Again, back to Chris Voss. We have a problem. Put it on their freaking shoulders.
And by the way, this person's response to all of that is critically important.
Correct.
If they are humble and understanding that there is an issue and promise to not do it again, just they take the right approach in response. Mm-hmm. That means a lot. If they are sort of flippant about it and they're considering what your perspective is ridiculous, overreacting, et cetera, that's a big problem.
Blow them up, fire them.
Probably, it's not going to last.
Hey, would you agree with me in the statement, take more time for hiring, take less time for firing?
It is so true.
And what was that podcast that was Radical Candor? There's a whole podcast on this exact moment. And I think that Michael should go listen to that podcast.
Well, so I've studied a lot of Horace Schulze, who was the Ritz-Carlton founder. And that is one of his biggest things is if you've got a situation with an employee, it is your fault, not the employee's fault. And from his perspective, and obviously he's very, very successful, he's not involved with Ritz anymore. He's gone on to do something actually even more interesting in the hotel industry. But I forgot what I was going to say. But basically, it's just totally on you if you're having issues with employees.
You were talking about fault on the employer. And then, so one of the things that I think could come up as well, and help me understand this, Rob, how you would deal with this employee. If the employee's like, but it's so small, it's such a small thing. Like, why is this such a big deal? It's like, well, as the employer, I'm trying to help showcase the importance of this small, minute piece, right? Mm-hmm. It may seem small and minute to you, but the risk, the inherent risk of the action threatens everyone in the business and threatens the livelihood of those families. How do you expect those families to feel when their breadwinner isn't making money anymore because the business burned down?
Right.
And if they can't empathize with that, get rid of them. Get rid of them. Fire them. I don't care. Look, I have made a lot of mistakes in this company, and one of them was leaving a couple people in this company for too long because I was trying to empathize with them. I was trying to make it better. And then you're right. I realized that ultimately it was my fault because the environment that I set up around that person was not conducive to them being successful. But that being said, I said, you know, what can we do to try to make this environment successful? And then finally learned that even though we created that environment for that person, it still wasn't right. I cannot say this over and over again. Take more time hiring. Mm-hmm. Take more time hiring. I mean, I know Howell is next door in the studio next door. I could probably hear me, but we took a long time to hire Howell.
Because we had learned.
We had learned. And Howell is the best freaking employee, contractor, team member, awesome kid, everything in this company. And I hope you can hear me, Howell. So,
anyways, I think one of the points, and you alluded to it, is, and I don't know, sometimes people, I think, get this reversed when they say, what's the big deal? I mean, it's such a small little thing. And so I think what they're thinking subconsciously is, I'll be fine with the big things. But from a manager, company owner's perspective, no, that's not it at all. It's, if I can't trust you with the little things that should take very little thought and very little effort on your part to do right, how can I trust you with the big things that are going to take a lot more thought and a lot more effort?
Boom.
But they don't, like I said, they get that whole thinking reversed when their response is, what's the big deal? It's such a small thing.
If they say, what's the big deal? What's a small thing? And you try to explain it to them again and they do not empathize, fire them because they do not understand the systematic nature of the company and how they're an integral piece in the ladder. And if there's one rung of the ladder missing, you're not taking the risk to go up to that ladder without having that support. Things are not going to work properly. You don't have a good foundation for the house. Yep. It's going to fall over. We're seeing that in Florida every day, right?
Yeah, there was a house that was built recently, and it was built to withstand 250 mile per hour winds. Mm-hmm. I think it was on Mexico Beach. Was that one of the beaches? Uh-huh. And just obviously the devastation, which is horrible. And there's this one house just standing there.
ICF, baby.
Almost, untouched, it looks like. A couple of windows had cracks.
Oopsie.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, be that house.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that I bought that book, ICF Building. I cannot wrap my mind around spending $400,000, $600,000, $800,000 on a house that I know in 100-mile-an-hour wind is going to blow over.
Yeah.
Like, didn't we learn from the Three Little Pigs here? Come on, guys. Straw house. What happens? Stick house. What happens? Brick house. What happens?
Well, especially, I don't want to get into
Come on, guys. We learned all these things in childhood. We just didn't listen.
Yeah. Anyways.
Sorry, switch track on you. Thanks again, guys, for the questions.
Hopefully that's what you're looking for, Michael.
Yeah. And the short of it is you have to hold them accountable. Otherwise, everyone fails overall as a team. Number two, you have to empathize with the guy. Look, I understand you're lazy and you thought this was going to work, but you're risking everything in the company. Help them understand the layers of the business, systematic formulation, the rungs in the ladder, how we're all teammates. And if one guy doesn't do thing, we all devalue each other. Ask them again, how would his team member's family feel if their breadwinners couldn't bring home the bacon for the family? I think if they don't respond to that question, you know to fire them right there. And then, you know, also tell him that your point, even though this is so small, is not to make a mockery of him. It's for him to understand how important each part of the system is for the company as a whole. And if he doesn't understand that, why it's easy to make him leave the team if he doesn't understand that.
So, right.
Yeah, I think we covered that one pretty good.
I hope so. But we're always open to follow-up questions if not. So.
True. Which you can leave your follow-up questions at askdroneu.com. You can also leave us a review, subscribe. And also, we've got a training event coming up, drone mapping in Austin. We've got a good group of people already signed up. But if you want to sign up, go to bit.ly, so bit.ly/AustinMapping. That's bit.ly/AustinMapping. You're definitely going to want to go. There's a lot of cool cultural events going on in Austin the week before the training, too, if you wanted to make a vacation out of it.
can wear shorts and suspenders at the same time.
They're leather shorts, Rob. They're leather shorts with suspenders.
Nonetheless.
Das ist Lederhosen.
By the way, am I going to be weird by not wearing them?
Nah, no. Okay. I'd say only like half the people wear them.
Okay.
There's 10,000 people.
I'll be the non-cool half.
On that bombshell, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.